So let's begin where we have. We're up to Perek Chof Aleph Bat. I want to go over some of the Rashi's in Perek Chof. There are a few short things that we left out in Perek Chof, just a few short Rashi's. Let's start from Pasuk Dalet. Let's just run through the Rashi's very quickly in Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet mentions the three wars. After David succeeded in conquering the nation of Ammon, they went out and conquered the nation of Ammon, and David took for himself the crown of their king of Malkom, either the name of the king itself or the crown of the Avodah Zarah called Molech. And David's Malchus was firmly established. There were another three battles, domestic issues on the homeland front with the Pelishtim. There were three mighty giants, according to one interpretation we learned yesterday, when it says Harapha, it means Arpa. They were children of descendants of Arpa, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And there were three great warriors who went to battle and conquered, went to battle. So here we have here let's see, Rashi Pasuk Dalet. Vayhi achrei chen vatamar b'lucham begezi, was a b'lucham begezi, mashem b'chusakan b'zu aparsha kosa b'shmuel beis perek chof aleph. The details that are lacking here can be filled in Sefer Shmuel beis perek chof hei. Vati oid b'lucham l'plishtim es Yisrael vayere David avodav imoy vayilochamu es ha-plishtim v'av zemishum k'vodah shal David lo nichtav akan Sharik Sivsham by Yoav David. So over here, Raj comes to ask a question. There's a fourth battle that is missing. Here in Sefer Divrei Hayam, we only record three of the four battles. There was a fourth battle. And the fourth battle was Yishbi Benov. There was a person whose name was Yishbi Benov. And in this battle, David almost lost his life. And the only reason why he was saved, the Pasuk makes it very clear that he was saved by a person, he was saved by Avishai. Avishai came to his aid. Yishbi Benov, Rashi calls on Yishbi Benov, Asher B'Yilidei Harapha. It says there that Yishbi Benov, that was his name. V'hu Chogor Chadasha. It was the day when he was initiated in the army. It was the custom that when you go to war, the first day you go to war, you get a new sword, they give you new weapons, and you risk your life. You do something very dangerous in order to make a name for yourself. So it was the first day for war for this person, this Pelishti called Yishbi Benov. He was holding on to a new sword. He went out to war, and he came very close to killing David. Vayomer l'hakoy, says David, v'lulei she'ozro Avishai ben Tsruya, and the only reason why David HaMelech survived was because Avishai ben Tsruya came to the aid of David. He would have died. So Rashi here is telling us something which is consistent with what he says so many times in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. The entire Sefer Yom is written to give honor, dignity, cover to David HaMelech. Anything that is disgraceful or shows a weakness or some defect, any minor defect in David HaMelech, is omitted in Sefer Divrei Hayam. Yes.
Could this be the reason why David didn't go out?
Yes, the Pasuk there says explicitly that after this event, they no longer allow David to fight more battles. Let me read you the Pasuk. It's in Shmuel Beis. Yes, according to Rashi. According to the Mefarish. This is the Mefarish's Mahalach. The Mefarish says this, I said many, many times throughout the Sefer in many different ways. Anything that is negative, sheds negative light on David, is omitted in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Let me read you this, those few psukim. It was, okay, here it is. Here it is. Okay, the Yishbi Benov. Okay, let me read the Pesukim Shmuel Beis. It's in Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Tezvav. Vatehi od Milchama laPlishtim es Yisrael vayeri David vavodav imo vayelochamu es Plishtim vayoaf David. David was weak. The Yishbi Vinoiv. Okay, that's his name. It's nothing more than a name. Something real, real exotic name. The Yishbi Vinoiv. Asher Bilidei Horofo. He was one of the children of the giants. Umishkal Keno. The weight of his spear. Keno is a unique expression. The Mitzvah here in Shmuel says it's only found once in Tanakh. Keno means the shaft of his spear. Was Shalosh Meos Mishkal Nechosh. It was the weight of 300 coins of copper. Vuchogur Chadosha. It was his first day in battle. He was wearing a new sword. He was good with a new sword. Vayomer Lahakleis Esavid. Vayazaloy Avishai. Avishai ben Tsruya, David's nephew. Tsruya was the sister of David. Avishai came to the aid of David. Vayaches haPlishti, vayimiseu. He hit the Plishti, Yishbi Benov, and he killed him. Oz, this is the point that you mentioned. Oz, then Nishbeu, they swore. Anshe David lo, to David Lamar, loiseitse od itanu la milchama. You will not come with us anymore to the battlefield because you almost died. You almost were killed. Veloisechabe es ner Yisrael. So that the Ner Yisrael, the light of Klal Yisrael, David HaMelech, Ner Yisrael, should not be extinguished. Okay, that is one of the four battles. And the pasuk makes it very clear. At the end of this parak, it says, all these four souls, these four people were all children as Arbahas Eile. These four people mentioned, Yudu Lehorofa, Begas, Vayiblu, Biadav, Yadavod, and they all were felled in the hands of David and David's servants. So it's very clear here in Sefer Shmuel that there were four major battles that took place after David conquered the nation of Ammon. In Divrei Hayamim, we only have a record of three battles. The battle of Yishbi Benov with Avisha coming to aid of David is omitted. Rashi Lishitaso explains why is it omitted on a very simple level. Because it's a gnai for David. David almost died, and therefore we don't want to mention anything negative about David and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. All the Mefarshim, they learned this a little bit differently, more with more depth, based upon the idea that we've been expressing the last two days. Firstly, Yishbi Vinov. It's not a coincidence that his name was Nov. Nov was one of the locations where the Mishkan was stationed for a number of years, Nov and Givon. What happened to Nov? Nov was destroyed. Who destroyed Nov? Shockingly, by Shaul. None other than Shaul HaMelech killed Nov. Why did Shaul kill Nov? Because he suspected that the Kohen Gadol, the people, the Kohanim living in Nov, supported David. Rebelled against David because indeed they did give David from the Lechem upon him. David came to Nov. David was starving. It appears there was a famine. There was nothing to eat. The only thing that was available was the Lechem upon him. And the Kohanim gave David bikuach nefesh, ein David oim b'fnei bikuach nefesh. They gave David the lechem upon him to eat. When Shaul found out that David was about to die from starvation, and the Kohanim gave him life by giving him the lechem upon him, he suspected that they were rebelling against Shaul. They favored David, and Shaul went to war, and he wiped out the entire city of Nov. That was an incredible tragedy. These were tzaddikim kedoshim l'tahirim that were killed by Shaul. Shaul was not stable. He went a little bit too far. So the question is, was David responsible for the death of these tzaddikim? So on a very simple level, no. David didn't kill anyone. David was starving. He was hungry. But David, on his very high, exalted madrega, was indirectly responsible for the death of these Kohanim. David, he was involved. Okay, he didn't do anything, but he was involved. Because he was involved, the Mefarshim, the Midrashim, I'm not exactly sure who says this, the commentators explain that is why David would have died. Really, it was meant to be David should have died in this battle of Yishbi Benov. And the reason why this person's name was called Nov was it was a time when the Satan was coming to punish David for his involvement, although it was indirect, for the death of the Kohanim of Nov, Ir HaKohanim. And David really was meant to die in this battle. The only reason why David survived is not in his zechus, but in the zechus of Klal Yisrael. Since the pasuk makes it very clear in Sefer Shmuel that he was the Ner Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael needed him for leadership. The Malchus of David was necessary in order to establish Klal Yisrael to build the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Zechus of Klal Yisrael, David HaMelech survived. So that is why it's not mentioned here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim Because in Divrei Hayamim, we're not focusing on David, the individual. We're focusing on David, the Malchus of David. The Malchus of David has to be established. It's not important to make any mention of any possibility that it would have come to an end. In Sefer Shmuel, we're not focusing on the Malchus of David, the Malchus of God. We're focusing there on stories. We're focusing on events from which we can learn and take Musar and develop a Derech HaChaim. David was involved in a tragedy. David was, on his madrigal, was partially responsible. David was meant to die, and he almost would have died. Along comes a person and saves him in the schus of Klal Yisrael. That is something more personal that relates more to David the person. And therefore, it's appropriate for it to be presented in Sefer Shmuel, but in the big picture of Klal Yisrael, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, it's not important for Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Yeah.
Didn't David HaMelech have enough schuyos on his own to survive?
It appears not. According to this Chazal, it appears not. David HaMelech had very great schusim. There's no one like David HaMelech. We all know that. But yet, David, on his level, we can relate to his exalted level of spirituality, was involved in a tragedy, in the death of the Kohanim of Nov. And therefore, there is no, the Yom HaDin, no one gets away, there's no free lunch. If you're guilty, you're guilty, you're responsible, you're responsible. The Satan was there to take the life of David. And the Satan came in the form of Yishbi Benov. The name Nov is a reminder of this terrible tragedy. Only because of the Zuchus of Klal Yisrael, V'layichbe, Ner Yisrael, Klal Yisrael needed him, he survived. Okay, so that's an important idea. It's a very important Rashi L'shitasoi, he says this concept 100 times, U'lufi osa genai loy kosvukan. Okay, then we go, we mention next Rashi, it's Ha'oshiko Sabchi, HaChashti, es sapai miyalde harafas. We mentioned there was a battle. One of the three battles presented in Sefer Divrei Hayamim is this battle where we have Sabchi fighting against Sapai. I told you yesterday that it's not a coincidence that the sherish of David's soldier was Samach Beis, and the sherish of the soldier of the Plishim was Samach Pei. I told you yesterday there's a relationship between the Beis, the Peis, the Pei, a Beis and a Pei. The Beis is the hidden letter of the letter Pei. Beis represents Baracha, Pei represents Koiches of Tuma, and the forces of good overcame the forces of evil. The Shmuel Ksives Saf Asher b'yaldei harafa. In Sefer Shmuel it says Saf. See, there it does not say Sapi. It says Sapei Sofis. Saf asher b'yaldei harafa. Shal yochel shal Goliath saplishti. He was the brother of Goliath saplishti. V'ochi yishmi binav. All of these were brothers. All of these people were brothers. So there he's called Saf. Here it's called Sapi. It's the same idea. The pay, whether the pay, regular pay, the pay Sofis, with the yud, it's a small variation. Pasuk Hein Rashi. There was another battle. And the next battle was Elchanan ben Yoir. Now, the Mefarish on a very simple level says this was Echad Migibori David Hoya. This was not David. This was one of David's soldiers. Okay, if you look very carefully, look at the Pasuk Hei, because there's a lot of discussion about Pasuk Hei. Pasuk Hei presents this battle taking place at the very late stage in the life of David. Not very late, but later. Well, no, not David retired a little bit later at the end of this story. David retired during the Battle of Yishbi Benov. There were four battles that seemingly took place at one point in time. If you learn, it's not really clear if they really took place at one point in time, or they took place scattered. Well, the Pasuk gives us the order, but exactly in Muktam Ucha, perhaps we're taking events that took place at different periods of time, and we're collecting them and presenting them in one together. And then they did not necessarily take place after the Battle of Ammon. The way the Pesukim present it is there was a major battle, a major war against the nation of Ammon. And that was a critical battle, because that battle is where David's Malchus was fully established. And the way the Pasuk presents that is with the crown. It's critical. That's a very critical thing to understand in the Vim. The Battle of Ammon is where David's Malchus was solidified. There are many stages in the Malchus of David. Shmuel anoints David. When Shmuel anoints David, no one knew about it. It was a private matter. Nothing happened for the next 7.5 years. He wasn't really fully accepted. Slowly, David began to build up. He took for himself many people who says were very depressed. He had a collection of people that were not a healthy group of people. And that's where he started his malchus, and that grew more and more and more. Chevron, he was there for 7.5 years. When Shaul died, he wasn't accepted right away. Ishbosheth took over the place of his father. Then Ishbosheth died, and then there was a period of time when there was a vacuum. There was no one really accepted fully as melech. Later, gradually, David was accepted as melech over the entire Klal Yisrael. But even when he was accepted over the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, the world did not necessarily look at David as a legitimate leader. Right? You can go and you can know the Palestinians. The Palestinians can go and they can establish themselves. Oh, we have a state and we're a nation. You can do whatever you want. You can go and you can sit in your house and say whatever you want. Does the world accept you? That's a different story. When David conquered the nation of Ammon and took the crown of their king for himself, this was an acknowledgement by the entire world that David is not Melech of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is a major player in this world. In fact, they are the superpower of the world. Perhaps, I mean, I don't know exactly at this point in time, but building up certainly to the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Then, on a very simple level, the Pesukim present us a series of battles, three battles of the Plishtim. Now, according to the similar reading of the Pesukim, these battles of the Plishtim took place later on. There were domestic issues which had to be taken care of in the country, in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not necessarily so. It could very well be that there was definitely at least one battle that took place at a later point in time, but once we mention one battle, we mention also other battles that took place with the Plishtim over many, which may have taken place years before, and they were all related, because those battles were led by brothers. All of them were children of this person who we're calling Harafah. Either Harafah is one specific person, or Harafah means they are part of the family of the Rephaim, who were known. The main characteristic of the Reform were they were giants and mighty people. Now here we have the second battle. The second battle is critical because in this battle, this is the second battle. Pasuk Hay is the second battle where we present this person called Elchanan ben Yair Eslachmi. He killed. Now let's read the pasuk very carefully because I want to point out what it says in Sefer Shmuel and bring out an idea. Pasuk Hay says that he owed Milchama, there was a battle of Milchama es Plishtim, Bayach Elchanan ben Yair. He was the warrior of David. Who did he kill? He killed a person by the name of Lachmi. Who was Lachmi? The Pasuk makes it very clear. He was Achi Golios, the brother of the famous Golios Hagiti. Is this Golias Hagidi the same person as Golias HaPelishti? Now let's take a step back. When did David kill Golias HaPelishti? Way back. Long ago, right? Way before he was king, when he was he held the weapons, the young lad of Shaul. He was working as an apprentice to Shaul. That's when David killed Goliath HaPelishti. Here we introduce to a person by the name of Lachmi. He's called the brother of Goliath Hagiti. And this person, Lachmi, was a very mighty person. And the way we know that he was mighty, because the Eitz Chaniso, the handle, the shaft of his spear was Kim Nor Orgim, like a weaver's beam. We don't even know what a weaver's beam is, but it was a very, very massively large piece of wood, which the average person could not hold. And not only could this person hold that piece of wood, that was only the handle for the much larger spear which came from this piece of wood. Okay, so now Rashi tells us, the Mefarish tells us, don't be confused that this person was not David. Don't make any interpretation, some elaborate medrash, that this person, Elchanan ben Yair, is David HaMelech or is someone else that we are familiar with? No, he's just one of David's warriors. He killed a Slachmi, who was Achi, the brother of Goliath HaGiti, the eight Chaniso Kim Nor Orgim, Ko'oyso Eitz Ogul, Shekarchin Boy HaBegit. It's a very large piece of wood which you wrap, which the cloth, the garment, is wrapped around. B'shas Horigo, when it's woven, period. V'yoynes Amtir Gemoyse Pasik B'Shmuel. Oh, now the Mefarish says, I apologize. I told you the Pshut Shel Mikra, but you should be aware that Targum Yoynesan Ben Uziel, that's the only Targum we have on Nevi'im, right? Sefer Divrei Hayom Ksuvim, we have sometimes that we have the Targum Yosef, right? We have that Targum. That's not Yoynesan Ben Uziel. That's not the same Madrega as Yoynesan Ben Uziel, but in Sefer Nevi'im, there's only one Targum. The Targum of Yoynesan Ben Uziel. On Chumash, we have three Targumim. We have Targum Unkelis, Targum Yoynesan Ben Uziel, and Targum Yushalmi. But in Sefer Nevi'im, the Targum Yoynesan Ben Uziel. And what does he say there? V'kotel David. Ooh, so guess what? Elchanan ben David ben Elchanan ben Yoyer is not a warrior. It's David himself. David, kotel David ben Yishai. Why is David called why is he called here Yoyer Elchanan ben Yoyer? Machi, he was called the Machi Poroiches, based Mikdashaya Dmi Beis Lechem. He was a person that wove, the family was known for weaving the Poroiches, the curtain, in the Mishkan. In those days, where was the Mishkan located? It was located in Nov and Givon. There was a Mishkan. The Mishkan, they had the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was a curtain that separated. Who would make these beautiful curtains, which are replaced periodically? It was David's mother, or David's family. They were the family that went out of their way to weave beautiful curtains for the honor of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mikdash. Upisron Yoyer. What does the word Yoyer mean? How do we know this person? Elchanan ben Yoyer is David. The translation of Yoyer, Kamo Yar HaLavanan. It refers to the forest. The Yar HaLavanan is a code for the Beis HaMikdash. Mida k'neged mida. Yovei David. May David come. Why was David the one that would come and kill this person? May David come. She'imo. Now here we learn about David's mother. Okay, it's fascinating. Not often do we learn about the mothers of the Ishei HaTanach. She'imo. Oireges Pareches, who would weave a curtain lebeis mika migdash bim nor orgim, with a massively large beam. So we don't know the details, but she used a special beam, a weaver's beam, which was used in order to assist in the weaving of the pareches for the Mishkan. The Yaharoiges Goliath, kill Goliath, she'etz chaniso, the shaft of his spear was kimnor orgim, was like the weaver's beam. The lamo kari elchanan. Why was he David called Elchanan? Elchanan comes from lashon of chen, shechonanoi Hashem. Hashem was gracious to David. How is Hashem gracious to David? Hashem made David melech. Hashem was kind. He made a melech. Hashem saved David's life many times. The nearest Goliath Sagite, and then he goes on to say, okay, this is what he says according to the Medrash. Now, let me explain this very, very difficulty, because this interpretation does not make sense what it says here in this pasuk. Because in this pasuk, go back to pasuk A, it says, Vayach Elchanan ben Yoir es Lachmi. Who is Lachmi? He is Achi Goliath Hagiti. Didn't kill. Tell me that Elchanan ben Yoyer is David. David is killing Goliath. First of all, it doesn't say in this passage that he's killing Goliath. They're killing the brother of Goliath. What's going on? So this everything gets extremely complex, very confusing, because the problem is, let me read you the pasuk in Shmuel, and you'll see why this gets. Vatihi, oh, I'm reading now you what it says in Shmuel. Vatihi Muhammad bin Begoiv, in Pelishtim. Vayach Elchanan ben Ya'arei Orgim. So here in Sefer Shmuel, we have another word. He's called ben Ya'arei, not Ya'ari, Orgim. the weavers. Beis Halachmi. Now here it says Beis Halachmi. Lachmi is not the name of the victim of the Giti, that the soldier, the plishi that was killed. It's he Elchanan ben Ya'arei Orgim, the weavers, the family of weavers, was from Beis Lechem Yehuda. David came from Beis Lechem. Eis Golias Hagiti. So here we have a whole different interpretation. Sefer Shmuel, it says that Elchanan killed who? Golias. And Lachmi is not the name of the brother. Lachmi is the name of the place where Elchanan ben Ya'ari comes from. So we got on our hands here a major, major discrepancy. See, this discrepancy is not like the other discrepancies we had throughout Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Shmuel, there you can go, you can just say it's different word, different expression, different perspective. Here the facts are completely different. What's going on here? Okay, so I don't have any good answers. The only common answer that's given by many Mepharshim is that you have to say that what it says here in Sefer Hayam is the Iker. Whenever you have a discrepancy, first thing you have to do is which one is the Iker and which one is the one that requires some assistance, some padding of words. Yeah?
Based on the timeline, the Iker should be Shmuel. It was at that time. Divrei Hayamim was based on story.
What you're saying is very largely correct. That you're saying it makes a lot of sense, but many Mepharshim, they don't always say that. They say that Sefer Divrei Hayam in many respects can possibly be more accurate, because it's a record, it's at a later point in time when there was more information collected, and it's being presented more of an historical account of what happened, whereas the Nevi'im is more, it's prophecy, and it's more poetic, and there's more things are left out in the way things are described in order to teach us more, in order to give us hints and messages for things that are going to happen in the end of days. Being that Nevuah is more sacred than Ksuvim, it's open to much more interpretation, which allows us to add more words, to add more ideas, more concepts. Whereas Sefer Divrei Hayamim is more factual. It's not as sacred. Things are more precise to a certain degree. So you have different ways of looking at it. Okay, so I don't have any good answers, but at least we should walk away taking note of the discrepancy. In Sefer Shmuel, we have this person Elchanan ben Ya'arei Orgim, who comes from Beis Lechem, who is a Lachmi, who is killing Golias Hagiti. In Sefer Divrei Hayamim, we have Elchanan ben Ya'arei is killing the brother of Golias, whose name is Lachmi. Something has to give. Now, another very great difficulty is that the battle, if you're going to say here that this is David, Elchanan ben Ya'arei is David, this battle did not take place at the time and after Ammon. The Pasuk here in Pasuk is that he owed Milchama as Pelishtim. Pasuk K comes after Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet says that this took place Acharei Chain, took place at a later point in time, which would seem to indicate that all of these events took place after the Battle of Ammon. But we know for a fact that David killed Goliath took place at a much earlier point in time, way before Ammon. So that's another discrepancy which has to be dealt with. The only solution you can simply give is that Pasuk K does not connect to the Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet says there was Acharei Chain, there was a battle after Ammon, and now Pasuk K mentions, by the way, Yishnah 1-2 mentioning one battle of the Pelishtim. There's another battle with the Pelishtim that took place way before, where David actually killed Goliath, or the brother of Goliath. Okay, whatever it is, but this is something which is interesting to take note of. Then along comes Rashi. Now Rashi appears to be going back to the simple interpretation, not the Midrash interpretation. He says, "V'lama v'nirish Goliath Sagiti, eina Goliath Sapelishti." Okay, they're not the same. If you want to take the pasuk at face value, the Goliath mentioned over here is not the Goliath mentioned in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel when David killed Goliath, because there he was Goliath HaPelishti. Achash Hashem Karu Goliath HaPelishti. That's number one. The Achash Lemaluk Siv Oz Hika Sabchi Hachashti Esapai Milidei Harafayim. The Gam Lamata Kosev came. The Gam Hu Yula Loharafa Mechlal Shloim Maskir Af. We're not mentioning other people. We're only that it does not say here that this person was a child of Harafa. In Sefer Divrei Hayam, there are three major battles. Two of the three, we are informed that the leader of the Plishtim was a child of Harafa. But the middle one, the brother of Goliath, is not mentioned. Look at Pasuk Dal. Pasuk Dal that says, "Vahi achrichein v'tamen mulcham begezer plishtim asika sibchai hachushasi es sipai." Who is Sipai? Sipai is milidei harifoim. He was from the children of the refoim. Now let's jump to Pasuk Vav, the third battle. Vati oil mulcham begas vayi ish mida v'yetzvoisav sheish v'sheish. The Gam Hu Nolad Liharafa. So 1 and 3 were children of Harafa. But Pasuk Hey, it doesn't say was a child of Harafa. Pasuk Hey, it says, Vati od Mulchama was Pulishiv, Ayach Elchanan ben Yoir, Etzlachmi, Achi Golias, Hagiti, the Etzchani so Kim Nor or Gim. There is no mention in Pasuk Hey that Lachmi Achi Goliath was a son of Harafa. So there's a major discrepancy. We have 1, 2, 3. 1 and 3 are told clearly are children of Harafa. And number 2 does not say was a child of Harafa. Goliath HaPelishti in Sefer Shmuel was a child of Harafa. So don't tell me the Goliath mentioned over here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim is the same Goliath HaPelishti mentioned Sefer Shmuel, because the Goliath in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, the pasuk clearly identifies the child of Harafa. And here in Sefer Shmuel, Divrei Hayamim, where we mention this person called Goliath Hagiti, we omit any mention that he was a child of Harafa. And don't tell me the reason why we left out that information was because it's not important for Sefer Divrei Hayamim. If it was important enough to mention the yichus of warrior number 1 and warrior number 3 that they were children of Harafa, don't you think it would be worthy to mention the yichus of warrior number 2 of Lachmi, the brother of Goliath, was also child of Harafa in the same series of people? How come it's not mentioned? You know why it's not mentioned? Because they're not the same person. The Sefer Shmuel is a Goliath HaPelishti, and this is Goliath HaGiti. So this is Rashi's second proof that we're not dealing here with the same person. So, yes, Gas is one of the cities of the one of the strongholds. Gas was one of the major strongholds of the Pelishtim. So, but it's Gas. It's not called Plishtim. It's known by a different name. It's a different country, different state. It's a different title. But you don't. But they're not interchanged. If you're from Gas, you're called Gas. If you're from the general Plishtim, you call them Plishtim. This is what Rashi says. Okay, obviously you can argue, but this is Rashi's interpretation. If you take the certainty by him at face value, it's an entirely everything is very simple. Everything is very factual. There's no problem. We have a person, Elchanan ben Ya'ari. He went, and this battle took place after the Battle of Ammon, and he killed the brother. This person, his name was Lachmi. He was the brother of Goliath HaGiti. Nothing to do with Goliath HaPelishti that is mentioned in Sefer Shmuel. In Sefer Shmuel, we have a problem. The thrust of the difficulty is cast on Sefer Shmuel, not on Sefer Divrei Hayam. This is the way Rashi wants to learn Pshat in the Pasuk. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav mentions the third major battle with the Pelishtim, and there was a person who was an Ish Mida. Ish Mida, Rashi says, means Dugma Anshe Midos. We have this Zuntype by the Meraglim. And now come to Eretz Shal, they come across Anshe Midos, which means giant sized people. Kilayma Ish Godol, Fishu Godol, Kokach, Shetzach, Le Modado, Koru, Ish Mida. Anytime that thing is left to measure, you call an Ish Mida person that needs to be measured. The Etzba Oysav Shesh Vashesh Eshem Yarba, he had a grand total of 24 digits. And over here, Rashi tells us, why does it tell us 12, the 6, 6, and 24. We discussed this yesterday. Yud beis biyadayim, yud beis biyaglayim, 12 on the hands, 12 on the legs. On the feet, oimer eshem yabah, misbar kolemar, zebit sad zesh yoch alumnus, that you can count them, you can count them, you can count them. V'gam zehoya kamo shiyochol, why? Beautiful interpretation. Rashi is telling us why it was necessary. What does the pasuk come to tell us? That he had so many digits, that it adds more dexterity. If you have an extra finger, you have a greater grip. It's a very interesting concept. You can grab it more. You have more power. Can we count? If it says 6, 6, and we know that a person has two hands and 2 feet, so that's a grand total of 24, so why is it necessary for the pasuk to count the numbers to us? Tricha, ikaz rachmona shesh v'shesh hava amrinon shis diyodei v'shis dekare. A grand total of 6. In other words, 3 fingers on each hand and 3 toes on each foot. That's why it says chavdal. V'ksiv chavdal have mina sheva. Maybe there was an inconsistency. There was 7 on one and 5 on the other. Sheva b'ho v'chamesh b'ho. V'kachot rachmona shesh v'shesh eshim v'arba 6, 6, great till 24. That's why we need all of these numbers. Okay, so that concludes this perek, perekhof, a very small but very powerful perek, the final legitimacy of David's Malchus coming through the conquest of the nation of Ammon, taking their crown. Ammon is a descendant of Lot, and that makes David's Malchus as a biological child of the first child of Lot, of Moab, and his Malchus is being given legitimacy by the nation, by conquering the nation of Ammon. And then the 3 subsequent battles against the Pelishtim, where he conquers his aunt, the aunt being the children of Harapha, or Arpa, according to one interpretation, Arpa, which was these 3, and we're leaving out the 4th battle of Yishbi Benov. According to Rashi, Yishbi Benov, it's not important because of the Bezoyns, Zilpah for David, he almost died at that battle. That was a very important battle because it was that battle which was the cause of David's retirement. He was forced to retire. The government shut down. They shut him down. They shut him down. What?
Just a retirement.
They retired him. Right? Look at that. They retired him from his position. Right, of course. He was the Melech. He was the Melech, but they swore to him that you will not come out with us to battle because Shlayich Ved Ner Yisrael. Okay, and we have this beautiful Medrash, Elchana. And then we have this beautiful Medrash. He is called, we have this, to keep in mind, this inconsistency between Sefer Divrei Hayom and Divrei Shmuel. Who is this person, Elchanan ben Yari? Who is this person called Lachni? Who is Goliath? All of these variables, different interpretations. David, is it not David? Is Goliath the same Goliath? It's not the same Goliath. Are we following a timeline? Are we joining together other major battles that took place against the Pelishtim in the history of Klal Yisrael? All of these are issues that are dealt with and discussed, and there is no consensus. Now we come to a new story. Perikov, I'll at least begin this a little bit. Perikov. Aleph, Vayamot Satan al Yisrael, Vayoses es David, Lindos es Shol. Now we come to a Satan as an adversary. Satan means that there was a kittrig against Klal Yisrael. Vayoses es David, and David was incited, Limnois, to count es Yisrael. Now ultimately, this is the story where David wanted. David was very firm, was successful in his Malchus. And if you learn the Pesukim on a very simple level, David wanted to know where he's holding. I've conquered pretty much the entire civilized world. I am now going to build a Beis HaMikdash for Hashem. I have collected Gesundheit, an enormous amount of wealth, which will be used for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. I want to feel good about myself. I want to feel good about my people. Where are we holding? How many people does Klal Yisrael have? It's always a lot of pride. You read in the news, oh, there are 7 million Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. How many Jews living in America? There's something to it. When you're able to count, to have a grasp of the population, that means you have you're on the map. That's one approach to what David is coming to set out to do. Now
but
we know.
He doesn't want to know how many people. He just wants to know the army.
Oh, so that's all part of the question. What exactly is David thinking of here? What's going on over here? Now we know there's a halacha that you're not allowed to count Klal Yisrael. You're not allowed to count Klal Yisrael. It's a prohibition in the Torah that Kisisa, if you want to count Klal Yisrael, it's only counted with Shkolim. The only time Klal Yisrael is counted, a census is only to be made when you're not allowed to count individuals. The only way you count people is by counting them indirectly, by counting everyone gives Machsa Shekel, or everyone gives an animal, and you count the animals, you count the Machsa Shekel, and that's how you come to a number. We know when you have a minion, you're not allowed to count people. How do you count? Hayishia Samecha, the pasuk that has 10 words, or you say the Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. I told you this once, that's 10 words in that bracha. That is, you don't count people alone. And why don't you count people alone? Because Klal Yisrael, when you count something, you're limiting. When you count a group, that conveys a limitation. This is it. That's the whole thing. There's nothing more than this. Klal Yisrael is infinite. The bracha Hashem has given Klal Yisrael is lo yisafer v'lo yimane l'rov. They cannot be counted. They cannot be enumerated due to their abundance, due to their large amount. You cannot, when you count something, you're coming you're coming to limit the greatness of that thing that you are counting. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to be counted. David HaMelech here is making a mistake and he's counting Klal Yisrael. This was considered to be a very big sin. So the Satan, obviously, anytime that you're riding high, you're successful. Vayishman yishudun vayivat. When a person is successful, he feels a shtickle gaiva. It's not due to Hashem's it's not due to siyata d'shmaya, it's due to my success. A person has to always realize that everything that a person does in this world is only through the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They say, I once heard from a Rav, that says in Chazal, that Yom HaKippurim, they took the wool, the red wool, and they tied the red wool, they broke the red wool into two parts. They put one half of the red wool on the horn of the Soher LaZazel, and the other piece of red wool on the gate of the Beis HaMikdash, and they threw the Soher LaZazel off the cliff. So one of two things happened. Either the red wool miraculously turned white, or the red wool remained red. So Chazal say, whatever happened, it was no good. Because if the red wool remained red, so what does that mean? Hashem did not forgive us. We have not done tshuva as what is required of us, and therefore the wool remains red, Hashem is angry, Yom HaKippurim has passed, and we have not received the full atonement, we are in a lot of trouble. What happened if the wool turned white? So what would you say? Wonderful. Wonderful, the wool turned white. Right? The wool turned white, so Hashem has forgiven us. We're pure. Hashem is, it's also no good, because that breeds complacency. Oh, Yom HaKippurim is over. Look, the wool on the gate is white. Hashem forgave us. Ah, now we can go to the movies. We're clean. We have a clean slate. We have credit. So we can now backslide. We can now do others. So whatever happened was no good. It's a very scary thought. It's a no-win situation. If it remains red, depression. If it remains white, Yishuvun Yishuvun Yivat. The reason why there's a Satan Al Yisrael at this point in time, because Klal Yisrael was riding high. This was the moment in the history of Klal Yisrael. Here we are, Perek Chaf Aleph, after David conquered Ammon, received legitimacy from the world as being the superpower, wearing the crown of Malkum, wearing that crown which weighed 100 talents of gold, which was what we learned yesterday, which was supported by a magnet. And after David succeeded domestic policy, foreign policy and domestic policy, he wiped out Ammon and he wiped out the Pelishtim. Right, he was successful. Which president of the United States, Lahavdil, was successful? Both goes down history as being successful, both foreign policy and domestic issues. Unheard of. Both?
Yeah.
Both. How many? So David over here, that's what it says. The Parak Kabbalah says David was successful in both accounts. So what happens when you're successful? You feel complacent. Ah. And no one is immune to this. Not even David Melech Yisrael. And therefore, the Satan is going to, David, you happy with yourself? Ashtikl gaiva. Ashtikl, you're too much success. Okay, we'll make some trouble for you. We'll humble you. What was the humbling? How did the Satan attack David? Why don't you count? Why don't you take inventory? Right, when you're very successful, after you make a killing in the market, let's sit back and take inventory. What do we got here? Let's see how much money we have. How many millions? Let's put away some money for this child, and a trust fund for this one, a trust fund for that one. Let's take inventory. That's exactly what David is doing. You only take inventory when things are going very, very well. When you're having losses every single day, you're not so quick to pain yourself by counting your losses. Exactly. You count your successes. That's exactly what's happening over here. It's critical to understand that David is riding high. It could very well be this was the highest point in the history of Klal Yisrael. Even higher than Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was after the success that he built the Beis HaMikdash. Ish tachas gafna. Here, David is on the way up. It's always more exciting when you're going somewhere, when you're heading somewhere than when it's already over. The engagement, you always see by Chasen Kala, the engagement is the happiest time in a person. The Gedolim said this, many people said this, that when a person is engaged, that period of time in his life, when he's engaged, is a much happier time than the wedding.
Because a period of blindness.
Because you're looking forward to Simcha. At the time of wedding, or the time of the Sheva Brachas, you already realize reality is setting in. How am I going to make Parnasa? Am I really happy? It's a whole different... David here is in the engagement period. That's the moment. Shlomo HaMelech, Ish Tachas Gafna, Tachas Teinoso, is Sheva Brachas. Sheva Brachas is not as rosy as the Vart. The Vard is a much greater simcha. David HaMelech is at that moment in time. And that's why David HaMelech is now faced with the Satan. He's coming to attack. Yeah.
If you look at the Targum Banisat, Targum has a lot of welcome Hashem.
Hashem.
Hashem himself.
Hashem himself was coming. Of course, right. Everything comes from Hashem. The Satan is just an instrument in Hashem's hand. Of course.
So Hashem wanted to bring David down?
Hashem wanted to humble David. A person, this is in the sign of life. Life, there are cycles. When things are not so good, a person can sink into depression, can give up, can say, what do I have to do? Observe the mitzvos? Anyway, things are not going so well. So what do I have to lose? I might as well have a good time. And then when a person is successful, he suffers from the sign of complacency. Vayishman, yishurun, vayivat. David is now in a moment of time of vayishman, yishurun. And therefore Hashem is testing him, are you going to be vayivat?
Even though before we had this conversation between David and Hashem, David is thanking Hashem, he appreciates it. Goes through a whole. We have one whole parrot there where if you give me this, I appreciate, I recognize. With David, in a sense, is humbling himself, so to speak.
Well, David now is on a high. And the Satan is coming to test David. Do you attribute your success to Hashem, or do you take credit for yourself? Now let's just introduce one point before we go further. What was David thinking? You're not allowed to count Klal Yisrael. How did this happen? So Rabbi Eisenman has a very beautiful interpretation in the back of the article Sefer Divrei Hayam, where he explains as follows. There is a time to count Klal Yisrael. David was following a precedent in the Mishkan. Before Klal Yisrael began to build the Mishkan, Parshas Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu counted Klal Yisrael. And in fact, the Machzis HaShekel that Moshe collected from Klal Yisrael were used as the foundation of the base of the Mishkan, the Adonim. So what do you learn from this? That when you are about to build a structure, when you're about to do something, l'shem shamayim, the proper thing is to take inventory of Klal Yisrael as a start, as a haschola, to do something for HaKadosh Baruch.
Could it be after war?
Or you want to count your losses. Though it appears David here was not coming to count his losses. David here, let's go one step at a time. But Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came, when he wanted to build a Mishkan for Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu counted Klal Yisrael by having every single person donate a Machsa Shekel, and he used those Machsa Shekel as the foundation of the Mishkan, as the Adonim. The Adonim are the sockets which support the weight of the entire Mishkan. What do you learn from this? That when you want to do something L'shem Shemayim, you have to bring Klal Yisrael together spiritually. And when you count, when everyone comes together to be counted, this is the ultimate form of Achdus. Machsa Shekel, we all know, it's a half of a shekel. Why do we give a Machsa Shekel? Because every person has to recognize that they on by themselves are incomplete. It's only when they join together with someone else, with the entire Klal Yisrael, do you have the power to accomplish, to become one, to become whole. When you want to come together to serve Hashem, to build a bayis for Hashem, to bring the Shekhinah down to this world, it can only be accomplished if Klal Yisrael comes together as one, ki ish echad b'lev echad. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, he brought Klal Yisrael together by counting them. By counting them, we're all one unit. We're all going to give Machsa Shekel. And in fact, to show that we're all one, we're going to take those half of shkolin that everyone gives as use it for the foundation of what we're trying to accomplish, for the structure to be a home for the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that we're doing now over here, David HaMelech is coming to build the Beis HaMikdash. Right, David HaMelech, he tells Nasan HaNavi, going back a few parakim, and he says to Nasan, you have a great idea. Why should it? It's already been 440 years. Hashem is living in, Hashem Shekhin is resting in a tent. I just built for myself this beautiful palace. You know, why don't we upgrade Hashem's residence? Let's build for Hashem a bayis. It was a novel idea. We take this for granted, right? We're brainwashed. Beis Hamikdash, Beis Hamikdash. Doesn't say in the Torah anywhere to build a Beis Hamikdash. It just says l'shichnay sidushu v'asa shama. You have a mikdash, and the Torah is very precise. We discussed this at great length. You build a mishkan. David came up with this novel idea. We're going to build HaKadosh Baruch Hu a bayis. Nasan says to David, "David, excellent idea. Go for it." Hashem comes to Nasan that night. Hashem says to Nasan, "Go tell David that I'm flattered that you want to do this for me, and I'm going to give you, David, incredible bracha for what you what you want to do. I promise you that you, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, will reward for your of this idea of building for me a bayis will remain in your family forever in reward for what you want to do for me. However, there's one but. The one but is not you. The time is not yet ripe. We're going to wait until your son Shlomo, for him, he'll build the Beis Hamikdash." David was shocked. David was obviously flattered with the bracha that Hashem said the Malchus remained in his family. There was no guarantee the Malchus would be his forever. And now Hashem promised it will be in your family, not just Shevet Yehuda, but it will be to your descendants. But David said, "No, if I can't build the Beis Hamikdash, let me at least collect the assets, wealth that will be necessary for the building of this Beis HaMikdash." And David went to war. And we learned every war, that every success, he collected all of the spoils and he designated the spoils for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Yeah?
It should have been Shlomo that did that.
So that was not part of the requirement. Hashem said Shlomo will be the one that will physically build.
No, so you're giving the reason he's building the Mishkan.
Yeah.
But over here, he's not building.
But it's still the preparation. David is now going to the next step. I've collected the gold and silver. Now let me bring Klal Yisrael together as one unit by counting them. As just like Moshe Rabbeinu did, when you count, when you send out a census, you
like there was a Magefa.
Oh, we're coming to that. Wait. We're coming. Okay, one step at a time. I'm coming to give legitimacy to what David is doing. So why then was there a Magefa? That we're coming to one second. Exactly. So David is coming now to go to the next step. I've collected the money that we need for the Beis HaMikdash. I want to now unify Klal Yisrael as one to build, to come together with the will to build this Beis HaMikdash, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'yichuli truma, zov, chesev, v'nechoshes, tcheles, argomon, t'lashani, and then Moshe Rabbeinu went and he collected Machzor Shekel to unify the people in this mission of building a Beis HaMikdash. David's going to do that. He'll leave the actual construction to Shlomo, because Hashem said Shlomo will build it, but David wanted to do every single step, every single thing that he could in his lifetime in preparation for what his son Shlomo would do. So what's wrong? This is perfect. This is what David is doing is 100% on the mark. And in fact, Mefarshim tell us, the Lord of Yisrael tells us, when David counted Klal Yisrael, he didn't count them by number. Everyone gave Machzor Shekel. They minimized the sin as much as possible. David followed the rules of the Torah. Everyone didn't go count 1, 2, 3, 4. Everyone gave either an animal, everyone either gave Machzor Shekel. They did it exactly the way Moshe made it. So why did that Kadosh punish? Why was there an Magefa? Because it wasn't, here's the trigger, 100% L'shem Shemayim. It's true. What David was doing was in following the pattern and the precedent of Moshe. But you know, I'm now holding at the height of my career. I am the CEO of Klal Yisrael. I've made it. I'm partner. I'm the CEO. I have conquered the world. I conquered Ammon. I conquered the super world power. I'm wearing the crown of Ammon. Shtikl Gaiva. Let's take inventory. Oh no, I'm not taking inventory. I'm doing it L'shem Shemayim. To unify Klal Yisrael, to build this bias, just like Moshe Rabbeinu did, he collected Machzor Shekel, to unify Klal Yisrael in preparation, to lay the foundation for the Mishkan. I'm doing L'shem Shemayim. Are you really doing L'shem Shemayim? Maybe there's a little tinge of Koichi V'oitzem Yadi Osali HaChayil Hazeh. That's where David went wrong.
The answer is
because this led, very good, that's another very important point, the very end of this story, when the Magefa came to an end, where did the Magefa come to an end? On the site of Aravna Hayavusi, on the site of the Goyren, the threshing floor where the Mikdash would be built. At this moment in time, David still did not yet know the location of the Beis HaMikdash. It was still a mystery. And there was a Magefa, David was Mispalel, and David then saw the Malach standing with his sword, holding the sword, and he put the sword into the sheath, and the Magefa came to an end, and David then realized, David is of the Ruach HaKodesh, that this is the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash. This tragedy did have a silver lining, in that it was revealed through this tragedy where the Mikdash will be built, and that's what we need to do. We need now, it's part of the process of designating the Mokam HaMikdash. Okay, there's more to it. Obviously, there are many interpretations, and the question probably is better than the answer, but there's more to it. But it is a very beautiful approach to explain what's going on over here. And it's very, well, very simple. You just look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he proceeded to build a Mishkan, he counted Klal Yisrael. And there was no Magefa. And in fact, the counting of Klal Yisrael, we learned was the foundation of the Mishkan. It was the Adonim. That's what over here David is coming to. David is coming to lay the foundation. We have a tradition that even though David did not build the Beis HaMikdash, he laid the physical foundation for the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the spiritual foundation for the Beis HaMikdash.
But Moshe was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu, you see so. When you count.
So David, so exactly, so David doesn't have to be told. David is not Moshe Rabbeinu. David is not on the Madreg of Moshe Rabbeinu. David is many years later, 480 years later, but David is following. He looks at Chumash and he sees what is supposed to be done. He follows the instructions, the template, the pattern of what's meant to be done. Well, Hashem didn't tell David what exactly every step of the way. David, it's not expected for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak to David like Hashem spoke to Moshe. Only Moshe Rabbeinu panim el panim. We don't find that Hashem spoke to David HaMelech panim el panim. David, Hashem only spoke to David through a Navi, through God, through Nasan. It wasn't direct. It wasn't always a direct communication.
He wanted to do the other thing. He went to the Navi. And yes, I wanted to.
It's right. So this was part. There are different things. Certain things David spoke to Navi. Certain things David, it was pasha to him that this is the process, this is the pattern. We're now going to lay the foundation, and the way we have to get everyone together, we have to have a census. We're going to come together. That it was l'shem shemayim, but there was a tinge of gaiva, and that tinge of gaiva is what brought David down. And this all was what the Satan was trying to harm David. Okay, so we'll stop here.